The Synthaholics. My name is Holly. I'm one of your hosts. I have two guys with me today. Who are they?
Sweaty Aaron O'Brien.
And this is the sweatier David Duncan. I was kidnapped by Nausicaans, and that sucked. You guys said I was on RISA, but I was inside the stupid weather control centers.
Hey, John. Dom Jock.
Dom Jot human. They play like underground Dom Jot sex nice. Dungeons in the inside the weather control centers, and it's really hot, and there's no AC. Ironic, considering it's a weather control station.
Right. Well, Holly and Dave, we got a ton of news came from San Diego Comic-Con.
A ton of nudes?
Not nudes, news. the biggest one, of course, was we got the Star Trek Picard trailer.
Yes.
Which was pretty fucking fantastic. We got a whole bunch of things confirmed.
Not if you're Doomcock.
All right. You can get into that in a second. We get obviously Picard, and he's working the vineyard, and apparently he's tried to be a good grape farmer, but it just wasn't his thing. And he's
I could never do it as good as you, Robert.
Robert, I never did as good as my brother, Robert. He
got toastier than I did.
He was guilt-ridden because of the death of Data in Nemesis. So that was one of the things. And then also it seems like he gets contacted by a young lady who is in need of help.
Is she another Soong robot somehow?
I don't know, but... so this is her name. The character's name is Daja or Dodge.
Damja.
D-A-H-J. Dodge?
Dodge.
Dodge?
Dodge.
Dodge.
Dodge. So, the four Ds of dodgeball. If you can dodge a brick, you can dodge a ball.
When we see her, she's got like a gash across her forehead. So she's obviously been beaten up a little bit. So, but she's, we see her, she's kind of like walking the streets and she's got her hood up trying to, look, you know, quiet.
Conspicuous.
Yeah. Nobody know who she is. Then Picard springs into action, goes to Starfleet Command, and he basically says that, you know, he's...
Oh, needs our help.
He needs our help. And we see her, you know, running and that, she's fighting a bunch of guys. And one of the guys that she, you know, throws off like, a set of stairs gets beamed away immediately. So
I thought that was her. I thought she did she kicked him and went over the railing.
It could have been her. It was hard to tell. They're all in black.
It was a very wide shot too.
Yes. Also we get some, ships, which looks like Dave. It kind of looks like it's a red planet, so it might be Vulcan, maybe. These ships that are they're converging on a red planet, and they sort of look like Bird of Preys.
Sort of.
Hard to tell.
They're very thin Bird of Preys.
Yeah, they're very different looking. Also, we see then a whole bunch of shots of like some medical facility. And it looks like they're working on something to do with the Borgs.
Well, because we did find out from Comic-Con that Hugh, he's back.
Yeah, Hugh.
I love the Borgs.
So hopefully Geordi will be back because his best friend in the whole universe is Geordi.
Geordi, my friend.
He only probes Geordi with consent.
Jeez. We also got a shot of Captain Picard Day, which we saw Captain Picard Day in one of the Next Gen episodes, where like all the kids from the Enterprise drew pictures and made sculptures of Captain Picard. So then we get to see these prisoners that are like down in some holding cell. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but I'm pretty sure it's been pretty widespread that they said this facility has gone 5,843 days without an assimilation.
Uh-oh.
So these are Borg that have been turned back?
Well, it might, like, Hugh is in it, so it might be his collective.
Maybe.
From that two-part episode with Laura, I can't remember what it was called off the top of my head, season 6 or 7 of TNG.
And there's also some regeneration chambers where the guards are standing above them. So you, if you remember, there are like some catwalks there above these prisoners. And there's some guards holding guns. But behind the guards, if you look in the still shots, they're regeneration areas for Borg. So, and then, of course, we also get the famous, what are they called? Valquez Rocks.
Vasquez,
where
The Gorn and Kirk fought, and
Kirk and also Picard did. Picard was in the episode "Who Watches the Watchers," and where he runs into the problem with the Prime Directive, and they think he's a god.
Mm-hmm. And so, also it was used as Vulcan in the 2009 movie.
Yes, that too. Very, very good. Then we also have, like I said, Picard seems like he's gathering up with a crew, and there's a bunch of the actors that we have they've been announced before, and we get kind of like the cameo scenes with them, with as well as the Romulan character who's playing basically Legolas.
I really hope he's Kato from Pink Panther. I hope he jumps out to make Patrick Stewart sharp at his martial arts.
That would be pretty awesome.
That would be amazing.
And then we have a scene where some of these characters saying that she doesn't know who she is. And then we also go a Romulan that's shouting, says, she's the end of all. She's the destroyer.
And then you get to see a Borg ship.
Yes. And then we see the Borg cube that's like halfway either being constructed or blown up. And it's looks
it's
like
blue instead of a green, which is kind of strange.
Right. And then we also get the obviously the one of the cool scenes where Seven of Nine shows up, and she seems much more human than we left her at the end of Voyager.
It's been 20 years, so she should be.
She should be human.
She's gotten laid a couple times by Chakotay, and then she broke up with him because that was just a bad experience.
I'm out of here. And we get a Borg that's been all cut up, and maybe some things are being either removed or taken away from his implants, so he's all scarred up. So we're not really sure. We see also Picard getting thrown away around by some Romulans, maybe being arrested. And then we get the great Picard saying engage. So we get that. And then last, we got the Data scene of Picard playing cards with Data. And he doesn't want the game to end.
It would appear so, sir.
So, pretty exciting. We've also heard that Riker and Troy will be back. I don't know what capacity, but they've been announced that they'll be showing their faces somehow during the show.
Yeah, she's back. Back again. Riker's back.
Riker's back with some Troy. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Holly.
This is exciting. I think it looks amazing. Definitely gives me a lot of optimism about the show.
Yeah, me too. I think it looks great. It's great to see some old characters coming back. I was kind of surprised that when Picard's talking to the Admiral, that the Admiral wasn't Janeway.
I'm glad it's not Janeway. Janeway needs to be in a prison somewhere making food.
Oh, not as good as he looks.
I'm not saying that because of Orange is the New Black. I think she should be in jail for war crimes because she was an awful person during the Voyager series.
All right. Well, we know how you feel. And Dave, what do you think about this trailer?
I thought it was really well done. It came above my expectations. I didn't know what to expect. I've been kind of dubious on it, and I would say it's won me over. Like, I am way more excited to see it now, not that I've seen the trailer. Excited that, Jonathan Franks and Troy will be back in it. Really excited that they're bringing in Seven of Nine, because that's not something I expected or predicted ever, I don't think. Right. I think that was like on like a wish list that was just like just probably not in the realm of possibility, and the fact that it's kind of happening is kind of cool. The data being there, and the funny thing is, we were actually talking about the Picard show a couple weeks ago in our private group chat, and I was like, "Oh, I bet it's going to have to do with like his guilt for Data," and then like it's literally in the trailer.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
So I was like, right. Huh.
The funny thing is, Brent Spiner always said that he'd never play Data again because he's gotten too old. I mean, Brent Spiner is 70 years old now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like he's CG'd.
I didn't realize he was 70.
Yeah, he's definitely CG'd for sure.
Well, yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited. I'm looking to see how it's going to go. And it looks like maybe those original leaks about the character types, I mean, granted, we didn't get a whole lot from them in the trailer, but from the little bit we saw, their character types seem to sort of match up with what that initial description was like a while back.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely that Legolas or / Kato character, that Romulan martial artist.
Sure.
It's like, you know, so like that's kind of there. Everything looks kind of renegadesy. Like, their ship just doesn't look like it as much. It just seems like a big empty hall. Like, it's a bridge, but it looks like just tons of empty space behind them.
Right, right.
I think if there's anything I have a negative to say about the trailer, it's just that the ship doesn't look very Star Trek-y. It just looks like a big open hallway.
Well, we didn't get to see.
Well, again, it's been 20 years.
And we didn't get to see what the ship actually looks like, so maybe the ship's not that important too. Maybe it's just something they're on for a second, you know. So we don't know. I just want to say a couple things. One, we were this excited when we saw the trailers for Discovery.
Oh, I definitely wasn't. This was
you weren't. I thought you were very hopeful. If I remember, you were kind of upbeat.
I mean, I was hopeful for Discovery, but just Discovery was always a prequel, and so I was more dubious about a prequel. I think I'm way more excited for this than Discovery, because Discovery just had so much uphill battle being a prequel, and it's not been winning that uphill battle very well.
Not to say this does look a great trailer, and it's great to see Patrick Stewart doing Picard again. I have a theory about the girl.
Yeah.
Do it. What's it?
I throw out these theories. They're always wrong, but I think she might be a Borg queen.
That's. I had a feeling about cool. that. Maybe she's like a Borg queen Soong hybrid.
Or maybe she is like, or maybe she's that Borg queen, but she was supposed to be assimilated, or maybe the parts are supposed to be put onto her, but she
selected for it and never,
never happened, because they're trying to keep them from being Borg in this facility. Just a thought.
That's a fun theory.
And then, you know, obviously it seems like it could be wrong, but are the Romulans trying to co-op the Borg technology?
Well, it definitely seemed that way from the Countdown comic. At least Nero was trying to co-opt the Borg technology. Although the Countdown comic doesn't seem to be canon anymore. I mean, I guess it technically never was, but so much of the comic is referenced in the movie tangentially that it just seemed like the comic should have been canon. Mm-hmm. But I think the comic was Orchie's baby, and since Orchie and Kurtzman aren't best friends anymore. they're not best buds anymore. Maybe that's why they're not as hard on the comics, because in the comic, Picard was an ambassador to Vulcan, and B4's assimilated Data's brain and became captain of the Enterprise. So apparently neither of those things happened in this version of the timeline. But Romulus is still gone, from what I can tell.
Yeah, well, it's 20 years in the future, so yeah.
Well, because they've released a timeline, but I mean, like, so that's the thing that's got me scratching my head. Why is some stuff that happened before true, and why is other stuff that happened before not true now? That's the weird distinction that I'm trying to find out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because some of that comic is canon and some of it isn't.
Right, right. Understandable.
So why discrepancy?
I don't know the answer to these things. We also got information about the animated series, Lower Decks. So Lower Decks is being created by the Rick and Morty writer Mike McMahon. And
would that be like McMahon?
Well, I guess so. It's McMahan. Is that McMahon?
I would say McMahon.
Oh, you're probably right. And
I mean, I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right. It's a 10-episode for the first season, and it's going to premiere 2020. And it takes place on this the least important ship of Starfleet, the USS Cerritos or Cerritos.
It should be the USS Barclay.
So I guess that's a county just north of you, Holly, in California.
Oh,
I think it's supposed to be a California class ship too. If I read that
California
right.
California class.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's anyways, which we don't know what the ship looks like either. So we don't go know that, but we got, animated stills of each character. So we get like, they're all ensigns. So we're not talking any command. There is a command crew, of course, but, I am assuming they're going to be, antagonists.
From what I read, the command crew thinks that the main characters, but they're not the main characters. So it sounds like it's going to be kind of self-aware, which makes me a little bit dubious for Star Trek to be self-aware like that. And you know, because Star Trek has always been takes itself very seriously. And they said they're not going to be making fun of Star Trek, but when they're kind of breaking the fourth wall a little bit, that's going to be kind of weird for Star Trek, because that sounds like a break the fourth wall thing if they're think they're the main characters, but they're not. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe they don't say we're main characters. Maybe they just like go around acting like the main characters, and the other characters like, I don't know. So I mean, we got the illustrations or drawings of each of the characters.
They do look very Rick and Morty esque.
Yeah, they do, and it looks fun. So, like, there's an ensign mariner, and she has a batleth. So, I'm assuming she has to have some kind of Klingon in her, or some be interested in Klingons.
Maybe she's just a fan. Maybe her boyfriend was a Klingon, and she took up batlething.
There's also an ensign Rutherford who looks like he's like kind of a cyborgish. She's got sort of like a cyborgish eyes. So.
One of them looks like an Orion, and the medical officer is a cat person.
Yeah, Catan, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it looks fun. I'm kind of excited, and I don't, you know, honestly, I don't mind if they do one that's, I mean, honestly, you watch the animated series from the 1970s, and that's done straight lace, and we still laugh.
Oh, yeah. But that's just because it's so bad.
It's so bad, we have to laugh. It's pretty hilarious, so... I don't know. So this, I'm excited for this. I can't really, I'm excited to see where this is going to go.
So my guess is that Picard, since it was originally slated for the end of this year, I'm guessing it'll be the first show out next year. Then we'll get like a couple weeks to a month break, and then maybe Discovery will start. And then I would imagine Lower Decks will be toward the end of the year, because that's the one they said it's going to take the longest to do, from what I heard.
Yeah,
I mean, like, animation takes a while.
Yeah, the Rick and Morty, what season was it? Season 4 or season 5 has been, like, put out for... I mean, it's finally getting released, but it's been almost, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, for them to animate all that shit, so... So anyways, exciting. And the other part of news that we got was during this podcast called Happy, Sad, Confused Podcast, they interviewed Quentin Tarantino, and they were talking to him about the Star Trek project. And they were like, what can you tell us without like giving everything away? And he said that they hired Mark Smith from the Revenant to write the script. And so I guess it's going to take place in the JJ Chris Pine. He calls it the Chris Pine timeline. And this is where I get a little nervous. I'm going to read you the quote, what he says. Can I go through and read this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He goes, this is Tarantino. He says, I don't know how much I can say. The one thing I can say is it would deal with the Chris Pine timeline. Now, I still don't quite understand, and J.J. Abrams can't explain to me, and my editor has tried to explain it to me, and I still don't get it, about something that happened in the first movie that now kind of wiped the slate clean. So he doesn't understand the time travel aspect of it. I don't buy that. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. And I don't don't fuck that or something. I don't bleep something that. And I want the whole series. I want the whole series to have happened. So he wants the old series to happen. And it just hasn't happened yet. No, no Benedict Cumberbatch or whatever his name is, or whatever his name is not Khan. All right. Khan is Khan. And I just told JJ, I don't like this. I don't like it. And he was like, ignore it. Nobody likes it. I don't understand it. Just do what you want. And if you want, and you want it to happen exactly the way it happened on the series, it can. So, end quote. So.
Well, that's a load of nothing.
But it's like, wait a second. You don't understand the time travel aspect of the first reboot of the JJ movies. And
maybe he doesn't understand why they had to do it.
I think, story that's been written is like contradictory and he's trying to wrap his head around it.
Yeah.
That's how I interpreted it. Like, well, it's been written.
But the thing is, I mean, like, as much as like the whole point of the reboots being a clean slate, they haven't really done anything clean slate-ish. I mean, they did a origin film to kind of just reintroduce the characters, and then they did Khan immediately. And then I guess Beyond was kind of its own thing, but I mean, they didn't. I feel like they for something that was supposed to wipe the slate clean, I feel like they didn't really take too much advantage of it.
I guess, but I mean, it's like you set up all this thing and then you're just like, oh, fuck it. Don't use any of that shit. You know, everything you use, don't worry. All the stuff that happened in the series already happened.
Well, but the thing is, it seems like it's shaking up that way. I mean, like, Beyond, they even made the joke at the beginning of it. Life is feeling episodic. Like, maybe a lot of the stuff did happen. Who knows? They don't really tell us. Because it's basically 3 or 4 years had passed in between the second movie and the third movie, and the way the third movie came out, it was like is almost like nothing in the past actually did happen.
I'm totally not feeling this. I mean, look, you know, I've had my gripes with some of the JJ and, you know, some of the stuff that he did, but it just seems weird that just because the director doesn't understand it, he's like, I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
I don't understand how Quentin Tarantino cannot understand it. He's not an idiot. And they made the movie not for smart people. Just what I'm, you know, the reboots weren't like aimed at the high IQ percentage of people. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what you mean. Why would you say that?
Because movies are made to appeal to the popcorn eating masses. What Red Letter Media says all the time.
Doesn't mean it's made for stupid people.
I'm not saying it's, but it's. I'm just saying it's not made for smart people necessarily.
I my feeling is more of this: why throw away everything that was built just because you don't understand it, and then say, "Hey, all the stuff that happened in the series would have happened." So, how would he actually fight Spock on Vulcan if Vulcan was destroyed? You know what I mean?
A new Vulcan,
I guess.
The new Vulcan just happened there instead. I don't know.
And from what I can tell, also that he was basically saying that it just, he's going to make it as, I don't know, kitschy as you would expect him to make it.
He said it's going to be Pulp Fiction in space. So I just need to know who's going to get fucked by the Gip. That's all I need to know.
I mean, I don't mind a rated R version of Star Trek. It's just that this is what I was afraid of, that we're getting two great tastes that maybe don't go together.
I mean, if he does a Guardian of Forever story, it could work perfectly together. But if it's not a time travel Guardian of
obviously
Forever,
he doesn't understand time travel.
No, he does not understand time travel, apparently.
I mean, it can't be a very good film if the director doesn't understand it.
Well, I don't think he... I think he's just being contrary, because I don't see how he could just not understand it. It's very simple.
You haven't read the script. You don't know if it's very simple.
Well, just, he's saying he didn't understand the first 2009 reboot with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. Like, he was like, I don't understand how that wiped the slate clean. Like, that they went into an alternate timeline when Nero's ship came and destroyed...
The way you read it, that's not how I interpreted it.
How did you interpret it?
Well, the way you read it, it just sounded like he was beating around the plot line, and he was saying that he didn't understand the timeline aspect. He didn't necessarily say, I don't understand how they went back in time in the first film. Mm-hmm. You said that it has something to do with the first film, but that, to me, that's just beating around the bush. I don't think that that's him saying he doesn't understand how the time travel worked.
Well, what he was saying was that he didn't like what they did, and he doesn't understand why they did it.
Well, that's my take on it. I don't think he doesn't understand it. I think he doesn't understand why they did it, which is why he just wants to undo it.
I don't know. I think that's...
Sounds like he's like most of the other fans that hate the JJ movies.
Well, what's even more crazy is that JJ is like, yeah, do whatever you want. Nobody likes it.
Oh, I mean,
and JJ says, I don't understand it.
Is this just some kind of marketing ploy then?
Because JJ doesn't understand. JJ is apparently jaded about everything, because we just watched Red Letter Media's talk about the ninth Star Wars film, and
yeah, but that's not confirmed. You can't.
They said they read a quote saying that J.J. Abrams said "fuck it" when talking about writing the script for Episode 9. So who knows? Maybe he just doesn't care about anything anymore. He's got so much money, he can do whatever he wants.
Yes, but everything he's been doing, people have been getting angry about what things he's done.
It doesn't matter. He's got the money. He doesn't care.
Well, anyways, he just says, I mean, that's what he says. It says, now, this is the quote again. This is what Tarantino says. Now, I still don't quite understand the J.J. Abrams. I can't explain it to me. My editor tried to explain it to me, and I still don't get it. About something happened in the first movie that now kind of wiped the slate clean. I don't buy that. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I don't blank something. Fuck that. I don't know what he was trying to say. I want the whole series to have happened, and it just hasn't happened yet. So, he doesn't like that Cumberbatch played Khan. He mm-hmm. says he's not Khan. Khan is Khan, he says. And anyways, it's weird to me. It's like, okay, so we're just going to make a little pocket episode of Tarantino.
I mean, I guess, I mean, then why say it's going to be in the Pine timeline if he wants to not make it, if he wants to make it his own thing? And I always assumed that Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek would sort of be its own thing, even though it may use the same actors, just because Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek just doesn't sound like it could really exist with other Star Trek, just because it'd be so weird.
I mean, it's not the mirror, you know, universe, but he could make a film that's
about the mirror universe,
just in the mirror universe of the with the original cast, like the JJ cast,
right?
But in the timeline that he likes,
right? But he did give high praise to Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. He basically said, Chris Pine,
great.
He said he is William Shatner. Like, he's like pulling up his essence, and he's doing that, you know, that William Shatner perfect. And also, he's like, Quinto is literally Leonard Nimoy, you know, so he nailed it. He's like, they just nailed it. So he loves their acting. I'm really confused now. So,
yeah, I'm definitely with you, Aaron. I'm a lot more dubious on him doing Star Trek now after hearing this quote. It's concerning. If he literally doesn't understand it, that's extremely concerning.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's just having too much fun in Hollywood. You know, I don't get it. But anyways, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, Paramount needs to pull out some kind of win for Star Trek, so.
Show him the money.
Show me the money. I don't know if it'll work, but whatever. Anyway, so that's it for news. A lot, lot, lot,
Lots of news.
A lot to take in. Yeah. Holly, last episode we talked about the poster. And we got excited about the poster. We're like, yeah, look at that dog.
Yeah, we talked about
isn't he a good dog?
The dog didn't even show up in the trailer. How sad is that?
I know.
He wasn't it for a second. He wasn't. You see him through the grape vineyards. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Walking with him.
Yeah. Anyways, so we have now to talk about a Picard-centric. We're going to do a couple episodes leading up to the Picard show. We're going to do Picard-centric episodes.
We want to get in his mind so we can know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. I was just saying we're not going to continue on with our Enterprise Season 3 marathon. That we haven't started yet?
We could, but let's not.
I know. I was just being silly.
What were you going to say, Holly?
I don't remember.
Well, it's Picard-centric. So we've talked, obviously, Next Gen. I mean, we're like, whatever, episode 200-something. We've talked Picard many times, and we've picked some of the more iconic Picard episodes, but what we want to do is revisit some of them over the next couple episodes.
Like and Justice. Talk about
them. No, we're not going to talk about Justice again. There's no need to talk about Justice again. but we want to just go over and kind of like get into his character and who he is. And then so when we see the whole Picard's new series, we're like totally primed and ready.
Right. We want to get in his head and be able to be with him on the journey into, Star Trek Picard.
We want to make decisions before he can. That's right. We want to be so in his head.
I would love to talk like Picard. That'd be so great. They have that just measured phrasing. Oh, so good.
Did he say phrasing?
I didn't say Frasier.
No, phrasing, like a Archer thing. Which is phrasing.
Phrasing?
Phrasing.
But we're going to talk about this episode.
The episode after Justice.
Yes, we're going to talk about The Battle. This is Season 1, Episode 9, and first aired November 16th, 1987. And this is where we get the Ferengi. We get a shot of their ship. As you said, I think a couple episodes back, Dave, that the Ferengi were supposed to be the Klingons at this point.
Yeah, early Ferengi were supposed to replace the Klingons and Next Gen. It did not work out super goodly.
Well, they're just not menacing. They're just more annoying.
They are annoying.
Yeah. So the Ferengi's been called the Enterprise to this area, and they've kept telling the Enterprise to stand by, and they've been waiting for 3 days now.
And this is giving Picard a really bad headache.
Yes, Picard's getting a headache. Obviously, he goes to Dr. Crusher, and he reports the headaches.
Couple Motrin and see me in the morning.
You'll feel much better. And then we get to introduction of Damon Bach, which is like the captain of the Ferengi vessel. And this he wants to meet with them. And Troy says, I sense danger and something dubious is happening with this person. So
I thought Beta Zeds couldn't read Ferengi minds.
But she senses he's up to no good. He's a sneaky guy. And Picard, they say they'll be over in an hour. And this is going to be like the first kind of like peaceful meeting with the Ferengi.
Yeah, because the last time we saw him, I think...
with the energy whips?
The energy whips, and they were like, ooh, gold? I like gold.
Oh, gold is nice.
I'm going to bite your communicator because it's made of gold.
And so when the Ferengi come aboard, they address Picard as the... was it the Hero of Maxima?
Hero of Maxia.
Maxia. And And this is where he's like, I don't know what that is. And then Data reminds him that 9 years ago, they got a he got into a fight with an unknown ship. And this ship was apparently a Ferengi ship that he blew up. And at the same time, we get to see what there's that ship that's coming in from long from far away. It's a Constellation class, and it's Picard's old ship, the Stargazer. So this was his first command. And he had to abandon ship after that battle. And they had to limp along on their shuttlecraft.
And this is where he invented the notorious Picard maneuver. It's where you get double penetrated because you can see two ships at the same time.
Two ships at once. Two for one.
But it's only one ship.
So during this whole time, Picard keeps on getting these headaches, and he's he gets moments where he's like, he even stops what he's talking. He's like, he can't even focus because he's got these like piercing headaches. And
he talks to his old crew accidentally sometimes.
Yes. And what does he say? He goes, I'm really getting into this or something like that.
Something like that.
I'm really getting lost into this or something like that.
There was a couple times in the episode where it was like they were like throwing around the hell a lot. It sounded like Star Trek IV where they didn't know how to write for Spock trying to swear.
The hell I will.
Well, like Beverly and Picard said it to each other a couple times. It was really awkward sounding.
Yeah, one time when Beverly like knocks on her beeps his doorbell or whatever, he's like, "Who the hell is it?"
Yeah,
he's like an old grumpy man.
Well, I'm the hell your doctor.
The hell I will. So the Ferengi willingly give them the Stargazer and to the other Ferengi. For free, they're kind of taken aback. They're like, for free?
For free? There's no profit in free. The hell there is.
So when they get onto the Stargazer after it's been put kind of limping along and put back to running on battery power, Picard gets to visit the ship for the first time, and he says something to the effect that it's like coming back to your childhood home and nobody's there. So
that's why he's so sad in the Picard trailer, because Robert is no longer there anymore.
Robert died. Did he die in the fire? Or yes. Was it just his cousin?
I think his cousin and his... I think the whole family died in the fire.
Ugh. It's terrible. That was really good acting, by the way.
Yes.
And so the Enterprise puts the Stargazer into tractor beam, and they're going to take it to one of their star bases. And at that time, Picard's, like I said, his headaches are getting worse and worse. And what we find out is that the Damon Bach is controlling some of this device that's giving him these headaches. And he's starting to relive. Even in his own quarters, he's starting to relive the battle that took place on the Stargazer. And at this point, he goes, he keeps on having these headaches, and he has to basically take time off because he just can't even function. And I'm sorry, I got lost here. So he beams over to the Stargazer at some point, and he's reliving the battle. And this is where they realize that he's going to try the Picard maneuver on them, on the Enterprise.
And then they realize they beamed over a trunk of his stuff that he hadn't opened, and apparently there's some balls in his trunk.
And there's balls in my trunk.
There's balls. They've haunted me for years. I just thought it was so funny that he's like, my things. And then she's like, go back to ship. We'll bring your things over, your headache. It just seems kind of weird because they don't seem to be super materialistic in Star Trek. And it just seemed kind of weird for him to be all of a sudden like, my things, give me my things.
Well, it's a traumatic thing that happened in his life. And it's not abnormal to want to cling to that. You know, even at the end of the episode, he's like, well, you know, they need to rest. You know, let's put it to rest.
Mm-hmm. He no longer wants to cling on.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's like, it's, I don't know if he was attached to his possessions, but, you know, he probably left there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And he was probably busy being captain, so he couldn't really think too much of what he had in the room. He probably just took what he needed and left.
Exactly.
So.
So now he's got this opportunity to, you know, have a piece of his life before he, you know, was captain of the Enterprise. And I don't think that that is abnormal for someone who's suffered something traumatic.
I haven't thought about that in years.
It's been 9 years. So what happens is they do find that this device. So Wesley stumbles upon the signal that's coming from the Ferengi ship that looks very similar to Picard's brain scan or something to that nature. And when he brings it to their attention, they basically realize that the Ferengi are doing something to Picard, and that's they find the thought maker device that's hidden in his room. And he tells Picard through the view screen that you have to blow this sphere up. And so Picard kind of breaks out of his haze of believing he's still at the Battle of Maxim, and he blows it up. And then he is free from control of Damon Bach.
Damon Bach has since been arrested for privateering and things that do not provide profit, and he's going to jail for a very long time.
For a very, very long time. But, that kind of ties up that episode. I mean, it's great because we get to see Picard's first ship that he commanded.
'Tis an ugly ship.
Oh, you never liked it?
I never liked the Stargazer.
Oh, interesting. Not your favorite?
No. It's one of my least favorite Star Trek ships, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I liked the idea of a four-day sail design. I just don't think it was a pretty one. It's kind of clunky.
Yeah, right. What did you think about this episode, Holly?
I had seen it before, and I don't know. I think I'm in a weird mood today. Like, I don't know. I don't have much to say, and I'm not sure why. I think it's just the mood that I'm in. I think I'll go last.
Okay. Fair enough. What I like about this is that we see a captain that's, you know, obviously Picard is, when we see him on even season one, he seems in full command. He seems like he has it all together. And there we see the Stargazer, which not any fault of his own, but, you know, he lost his first ship. And it just shows you that, you know, when you see somebody and you think like, boy, that person seems to have it all together, just remember that person that you think has it all together, it probably has a long laundry list of things that they fucked up in the past or things that
they carry
or things that gone wrong with for them. So
out of their control.
Yeah, some things in their control, some things out of their control, you know, and there's the dog.
Sorry.
Picard's dog turns into a werewolf at night.
But anyways, it was an interesting thought to me that here we have, like I said, we get to know Picard, and he's almost like, you know, he's a little stiff in the first season and second season a little bit, but then he loosens up. But he, you know, we see him as just this very commanding presence and very, you know, strong personality. But then what we realize is that, you know, he's had, you know, his, you know, things have gone wrong for him. And, you know, it's probably very teachable. And like, even like, you know, Riker kind of looks up at him during that meeting. He's like, and you invented this, you know, the Picard maneuver, you know, like, can't, you know, that was such a cool thing for you to do. And, he just says, I was just thinking on my feet. You know, basically something I could do that I could save us.
He was trying to be humble.
Right. Well, no, but that's still, I mean, you know, a genius under pressure kind of thing. So,
yeah. It's cool. It's a cool concept to see two starships at once. I'm like, oh, which one do I shoot at? It's kind of neat.
Right. Exactly.
Although it's kind of weird that warp would work that slow for you to see both ships at the same time.
As we talked about last episode, Holly, we were talking about how the Yamato, they run into the Yamato, and it's like the same model. And it's like, here we have a different ship type. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I was like, oh, that's cool. It's a different ship type.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like kind of excited about that. Little things I get to geek out about.
I did appreciate that it wasn't the same ship.
It's like, oh, it's not another Galaxy class ship. And right. The Ferengis obviously just never worked for these. You know, I know they're like peppered in through the seasons, but the Ferengi never seem to work. I think the Ferengi only really work in Deep Space Nine.
Well, Quark, Quark is the best.
But they fleshed out everything else about the Ferengi afterward. You know, with Quark, you know, they go to this home planet. You get to see the Grand Nagus and all that other stuff.
So Chief Inspector Brunt, all the great stuff. Yeah,
you get to see all that stuff. So, but in the beginning, you're like, oh God, these guys again, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. One of the guys I got on the Star Trek back when I wrote obituaries, he was like, I'm never going to like Ferengi. And I'm like, I'll bet you're wrong. And you're going to love him once you get to Deep Space Nine. He's like, no, it's never going to happen. And then like, he's like, yeah, they're actually pretty cool in Deep Space Nine. It's so great. It's so crazy how like the writing for them got so much better once they stopped trying to make them an antagonist and just made them just be them, you know?
Mildly annoying.
Let them do them. Don't make them a main antagonist. They're not strong enough for that.
Right. I don't know. I think this is a great episode to start off because we get to see, you know, kind of like the background of Picard before. I mean, we'll see more as kind of we go along. You know, there's other episodes like Tapestry and stuff like that we see his past. But it's great to see, you know, it's great to see some of these episodes. And this is, I mean, other than Farpoint, seeing the very beginning of Picard on the episode, which, you know, Farpoint doesn't really, it's kind of like an introduction to everybody. So.
Yeah, Farpoint's not super great. I mean, the best part is the Q stuff. Which is very Picard focused, but the rest of it's like just a kind of a clusterfuck. And I think the Q stuff is the stuff that they added on, is that stuff they tacked on, which is ironic because usually the tacked on stuff shouldn't be as good, but it's actually the best part of the episode.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and as far as this one goes for me, it's not my favorite episode. It's kind of basic, but I mean, it is kind of an origin story for Picard, like seeing some of his past and everything. But I feel like it wasn't a super great episode to get to know Picard with because he is so much not himself in this episode because he's under the control of Damon Bach the entire time.
Right.
We don't get a lot of Chupa card in this episode, so that makes me a little bit sad. But I mean, it was definitely nice to see not that another Galaxy class ship as the ship when they did the Stargazer. It's just you could tell they just glued together some old pieces of old Enterprises.
Oh yeah. I mean,
here's a new ship.
Yeah, that's totally what they did, of course, but. Still
they,
fun.
They call that kit bashing in the biz, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. I don't know. It's like I said. It's probably not the greatest episode, but it's like a little background Picard we get to see.
Yeah, for sure. And for a season one episode, it's really not that bad for a season one episode.
Yeah.
I think it was a good episode. I mean, it had mystery and suspense and all that as far as an episode goes. Mm-hmm. I do like that it's kind of getting into the idea of something behind the man, something behind the captain, you know, a past and a conscience and I don't know.
It's funny, too, how he questions himself at some point with when he's talking to Beverly.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, because we didn't talk about this, but there's a false log entry put in by the Ferengi. To make him look like he's the one who, like, destroyed the Ferengi ship on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't know, did I do that on purpose? Was that, you know, so there's a little bit of self-doubt there, too.
Am I really a shithead?
Yes. No. Yes. Great. It's I love it. It's I love it's a cool introduction of his character, and we get to see a little bit of his past too. So
I remember enjoying the episode when I watched it the first time. Like, yeah, I said, I'm in a weird mood.
It's not doing anything for you tonight.
Just not today.
Do you think the Stargazer will factor into Picard at all? Because Picard is like. The show looks
he's like an ogre. He's got layers.
He's got layers.
Like an onion.
What's a donkey got?
Oh, parfait. Everybody loves parfait.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just like.
That's your next alcoholic drink, David. You've got to find a way to make a parfait.
A parfait.
Name it after Picard because he's got layers.
He's got layers.
The Picard parfait.
The Picard.
Yeah.
I'll have to make like
a slushy drink.
Make a wine slushy Picard thing.
Make it layered with like different colored wines.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I've never tried to do a layered wine before.
Well, you just take like,
I've done
red wine
drinks.
Slushy and like a rosé slushy and a white wine slushy, and then you just layer them.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
Call it the Chateau Parfait.
Chateau Picard Parfait.
Parfait.
That'd be fun.
The Parfait de Chateau Picard.
Chateau Picard.
I don't speak French.
Oh.
Uh-huh. For our French speakers out there, we are so sorry.
Yes. We apologize.
We apologize for insulting the French language and the French people.
Send us an angry voice message in French.
Yes.
Oh, yes, and we'll play it on the air soon. We'll play it.
Merci buckets.
Merci beaucoup. Oh, no.
Anything else we want to say about this
episode? Not this episode, but what I was trying to get at a little bit ago is just what other kind of callbacks you think we're going to see in Picard? Because the trailer's full of callbacks. We've got Hugh, we've got the Borg Cube, possibly a new Borg Queen in the making, Data, Riker and Beverly. Like, what other kind of like callbacks are you expecting to see? Do you think Stargazer will make a comeback? Or
I don't think we'll see Stargazer. Maybe it's a model somewhere, but I doubt we'll actually see the Stargazer.
It's like plastered on the side of his house.
Yeah. He's like, why did I fuck that one up? Obviously, Nemesis plays a role in that, which is something we'll be talking about in the future. Let's see, the Borg. So, Best of Both Worlds 1 and 2. That will definitely factor in. Even First Contact, really.
Yeah, probably his relationship with the Borg.
Yep.
So, and the Borg Queen, what if she's after him? What if she needs a seed?
I need it. I'm trying to think what else we could see that would be, what else that might happen. So, the girl, like I said, I think she could be possibly a potentially Borg Queen.
Well, they're saying she's the end of all, and the Borg have been established as the badass, you know, thing that can exterminate everything.
Yeah, but those two looked very fearful, and sometimes you make poor judgments when you're afraid.
Although species 8472 seems pretty scary. Maybe she's an 8472.
Yeah, but that's in a different dimension, technically.
Yeah, I know, but Borg have made them show their face before, and 7 of 9's involved, so there might be more Voyager stuff they're going to do callbacks on.
You don't think she'd be a Q?
Oh. Oh.
Like that meme I posted of like.
Oh, we just got crazy there, Holly. Whoa, you just took it up a notch.
Although, if she was a
We're
Q.
We're in Flavortown now.
Flavortown.
Well, there was a.
Guy Fieri came to me. He had no eyes behind the sunglasses.
There was a Q, like, recruited out of Starfleet.
There was a cute girl. What was that?
Yeah.
We talked about that episode a zillion years ago.
Yeah, we did.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. I just remember the actual episode.
Well, the actress name is Dabo, so they named Dabo girls after her.
What?
Yeah, her real name is, her last name is Dabo.
Wait, what are we talking about?
The girl, the female Q.
Her name was Dabo?
Her last name.
Is this the actress name or is this the...
The actress name.
Oh.
He's saying that the actress's last name was Dabo and they named the character after her. Is that what you're saying?
The game in DS9, the Dabo girls, because they stand around when people play Dabo.
Gotcha.
Oh, all right. Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And last week, you are right. I did say that I did read somewhere that they did do the dune bugging because he enjoyed off-roading.
I saw that actually in, I think, a Reddit thread, too, as well.
Nice.
So. I'm just trying to remember which one of the episode where the girl is a young Q.
Q just like tries to convince her to leave with him, and then she has to decide on her own, and ultimately she decides to go with him.
Yeah. Did you say, do you know the episode?
True Q. Babe?
True Q?
And she's trying to bone Riker.
I'm trying to bone Riker.
Yeah, she was. She tried to seduce him with like making a fancy thing for.
Oh yeah,
him.
I guess she sort of.
She was trying to bone him.
Yeah, she was trying to get into his pants.
But the thing is, if this young disturbed lady who's come to Picard for help is a Q, she can do whatever she wants. So I'm pretty sure she's not going to be a Q.
Well, maybe she. I mean, that girl in True Q. She didn't even know her powers yet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So maybe she hasn't. I don't know.
Maybe they're trying to hide that she could have powers. That's interesting, too. Who knows? There's so many possibilities, and it's 2 minutes and change, and it's a very simple. Not simple, but there's just lots of little things in the trailer. There's not a whole lot to go on yet, but hopefully there'll be more soon. More and more trailers as the year goes on, since presumably it'll be.
Sorry, go ahead.
As I was just saying, because presumably it'll be out early next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I prefer not to look at the trailers. I prefer to be surprised and wowed by the series. So, like, I still haven't seen a trailer for Endgame. And I avoid all of the trailers for, like, Spider-Man Far From Home. And I don't think I ever saw a trailer for any of the new Star Wars films.
Wow.
I don't want to spoil it, you know? I don't want to read too much into that kind of stuff until I'm there and I get to experience it all at once and figure things out on my own.
But we've got to figure things out before they come out, because we're a podcast.
Well, we are going to discuss the inner workings of the parfait, but...
The parfait!
But that doesn't mean I want to watch all the trailers and know everything before it happens. I like letting it unfold. The Parfait Matrix.
The Parfait Matrix.
Layers upon layers.
The Orgasm Parfait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, can you make that drink for me, Dave?
You just take every sip you come.
Come on. Took it too far.
You're the one who said you wanted the drink.
I didn't say... Oh, never mind.
I just Henry Zabrowski did. I know, I took it too far.
You did. Anyways, anything else we want to talk about this? Because I think we've pretty much exhausted the battle.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I think we're all set on the battle. So we're going to be diving into more Picard stuff as we are able to.
If there's an episode that you want to hear about or just us to mention or talk about for a little bit, or even points that you want to, you know, message us on Facebook or email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you want to say about different Picard aspects and what might be leading to this new series.
Yeah, feel free to voice your theories. We might read some of those. And if there's, like Aaron said, if there's any episodes, message us or put them on the Facebook group for things maybe we haven't even thought of that could lead to great Picard discussion.
Yeah, we're not gonna go every episode. We're gonna just go with the ones we think they're important. And obviously, like Inner Light and, you know, Best Both Worlds and all that stuff. That's got to play into it, of course. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Maybe we should write, like, make up a document on the Facebook page for posting, like, episode titles and things, or, like, just links to our episodes in, like, this series, you know?
Yeah, we definitely have talked about Picard quite a bit. I haven't told you guys, but I've been putting together a spreadsheet with all our episodes because I don't remember what the hell we've talked about like 4 weeks ago. So it's like
Matrix.
Ice Pirates.
But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we talked about, and I was going through. I was like, I don't remember. Barely. I have like memories, but that's about it.
They seem so long ago.
They were. I mean, it's 2015.
That's true. We're coming up in 2020. You've been around for a long time, guys. Thanks for sticking with us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, our music, you can find them at warplovin.com. Our music is provided by Warp Lovin, in fact. You can find them at warplovin.com or Warp Lovin on Twitter. All our intros provided by Dave Wilkes, and he is anonymous other than that info we just gave you.
He lives in a cardboard box under a bridge.
Under a bridge to Niagara Falls. I mean, to Canada, whichever. The show you can find online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook conversation if you're not there already. Facebook.com/group/syntholics. And a couple people posted on Reddit about us. So if you're more a Reddit person and not so much an iTunes person, put some stuff on Reddit. We would love to see that, and because we do look every now and then to see if anyone has said anything about us. And since iTunes is going away, maybe Reddit will be a better place for people to congregate and talk about this Star Trek podcast.
Absolutely. And please, like he said, iTunes is going away, or something's happening with iTunes. We don't know quite yet. But if you can, just rate and review us there while it's still there. Maybe it'll transition over. Maybe it won't. I don't know. They didn't send me a memo. They don't talk to me.
They didn't ask us for our opinion, man.
I know. Jesus. Also, if you can, throw a couple bucks our way, it would be appreciated. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/syntholics. Money appreciated. It helps to fuel the show. It's kind of like the dilithium crystals that pump the energy into the engines of our show. So very, very much appreciated. Also, if you can't do those things, we totally understand. But a great way that's free, it's easy, is tell people about the show, evangelize the show, start your own church, and preach the word of Syntholics to far and wide, to the hills, to the valleys, to the mountains, to the fields. All right, I'm done.
Proclaim the word far and wide. Bicycle far to people's houses.
Bicycle to their houses. Ride a tricycle. They won't think you're weird.
No, not at all. Don't show them the Book of Mormon. Show them the podcast of Syntholics.
Have you heard our Lord and Savior, David Duncan?
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying that, no.
Oh, no? You won't go that far? All right.
I won't go that far.
All right. No.
Are we the Trinity?
Well, Holly can be the Trinity. How about that? She can be our Trinity.
She's our Trinity. Aw, that's cute. There you go.
She jumps out windows, shoots people, you know.
Hey,
enjoys rebar acupuncture.
Rebar acupuncture.
I remember Holly being like, that's such a peaceful way to go.
It is. She was able to say goodbye in a very peaceful way. It was great.
She's like, this hurts a motherfucker, but
do you know how long I've waited for you to fucking wake up?
You fucking moron.
You've been out for 6 hours. This rebar doesn't tickle you enough.
I would love to recast that with Holly giving those lines. That would be hilarious.
I wish Holly was still near us. We could just pretend to shoot that. We get some like fake rebar and stick it out of it. That'd be great.
Great.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Holly kebab.
When you're up, Holly, when you're here next summer, we should do that scene. That'd be great. That'd be fun.
Okay.
She's like, all right. No, whatever.
That'd be fun for the YouTube channel. That'd be great.
I don't know if we're still going to be talking Matrix in a year.
At that point,
it's like we could say it's another lost video. Oh yeah, and by the way, live long and prosper, one and all.
A lost video they were planning.
Yes.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks. So, like, have y'all watched any Chernobyl?
You know what? I've been dying to watch it. I just haven't had a chance to. What did I just finish? Oh, I finished Stranger Things, and I finished Game of Thrones before that, so.
Oh,
so I'm still trying to find time to read.
So, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was just thinking, like, maybe it's just my sense of humor being weird, but like in the first episode, like when the accident happens, there's a guy sitting down. He's like burning pretty bad. And then he's like, this guy walks by. He's like, can I have a cigarette? I'm like, I was thinking like the guy should say, you know, this will kill
you. They'll give you cancer. You know?
He'll give you cancer, you know.
I shall not chart.
Come on.
You should chart the hardest out of all of us.
She sharted the shardiest.
That's for not volunteering, so you just got to do it extra.
Yeah.
This is going to be terrible.
This is going to be terrible.